This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, what makes a good or even outstanding leader? Are leaders born or are they made? Our guest tonight says in order to be a great leader, you must start with having a heart to serve. Antar Muhammad has been serving alongside Bishop T.D. Jakes for 2 decades. He's out with a new book in which he chronicles his tenure with Bishop Jakes, and he shares his tried and true methods of leading through service. Antar Muhammad's book is entitled Heartcore: Effective Leadership Starts with a Servant's Heart. He joins us on the phone line this evening. We also would like you to join us for the conversation. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our conversation tonight on leadership, whether it's in the church, philanthropic, within your community, within friendships, etc., etc. We're going to cover it all tonight. Again, phone lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Antar Muhammad, thank you so much for joining us and congratulations on your book.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's indeed an honor to be on with you.
Well, let's start off with sort of the opening line we had here. Are leaders born or are they made, and what makes a good leader? What say you?
Well, I believe we all have intrinsically the skills, or at least the desire to lead in some sort of way, but it's only when we find fulfillment in serving others that leadership can truly be developed. I mean, a lot of people like to say that they are natural born leaders, but the reality is a leader is a servant to all who are under your rule. And to say that you are a leader but you don't really like serving is kind of an oxymoron, because in order to really effectively lead, you have to serve those you lead. It's not about making decisions. It's about understanding and taking full scope of the decisions you make and how they're going to affect everyone under you before making those decisions. So it's really something that you can be born with. Everybody has a slight tendency to be born with it, but you really have to cultivate it in order to be effective at it.
And does it take a special person to allow themselves to cultivate that, or to ask for help to be cultivated?
Well, it takes a person that really sees fulfillment in serving others in order to be effective. Everybody wants to do it, but again, if you don't have that fulfillment, if you don't find that there's something that feeds you when you feed others, when you lead others, then it's probably not for you. Because if it's for you, then there is something that comes out of you. You don't even mean to do it. It's something that it's just intrinsically in you. It's your core. It doesn't even happen. It's you. You don't know how to put a name on it. It's life. Many times people try to put a title on it or try to call it a certain thing, but you just call it life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a title for it. It's just what you've been doing all your life. So you have no other way of doing it, but that's what you have been doing all of your life.
Now, speaking of titles, your book is entitled Heartcore.
Yes, sir.
Leadership starts with a servant's heart. Explain or define the meaning behind a servant's heart.
A servant's heart is really serving and really being fulfilled out of giving to others. It's being fulfilled out of going in somewhere, going in an organization, going in a church, or going in even a family or a relationship and saying, what can I give to make this thing better? What can I do to bring enjoyment or bring enlightenment out of this thing? You're not satisfied just simply being in a situation. You want to make it better. You want to give yourself to it. You want to make sure that in your presence of being in that particular company or being in that particular church or being even in that relationship, that at the end of the day they can walk away and say, this place was better because you were here, because you indeed served it, you gave to it, you found fulfillment in making sure that it was better because you were there.
Now, we mentioned that you have a relationship with T.D. Jakes. You started your tenure with T.D. Jakes Ministry at the Potter's House as a volunteer.
Yes, sir.
So talk about your journey, and do you see yourself rising from a servant to a leader, or did you see yourself in that trajectory?
Well, absolutely. I didn't see myself being here when I started in the church in 1987. I joined, and then I began to serve in different capacities, from our volunteer security and safety department to various others, like our hospitality department. And in 2005, Bishop Jakes took an eye to my faithfulness and took an eye, really, to my heart for serving, because one thing about it is that I've always made it a point to let my service speak for me. And in fact, I wrote a chapter called Do Not Shine, Serve. I've always believed that my service should do the speaking for me. I never have to tout and tell you the accomplishments that I've done. I let those things speak in my stead. And so, you know, I didn't plan on being here, but he took a liking to me. He saw my faithfulness. He saw how committed I was to the vision. I'm sorry? He saw how faithful I was to the Potter's House and to the vision of the Potter's House. And in 2005, I began volunteering in his office. And in 2010, I began full-time as his assistant. And so there have been, you know, leadership roles throughout the organization that I've been able to take part in, but mostly it's to maintain his daily schedule and to make sure that he is where he needs to be and make sure things go as we have planned them out with my team. You know, right now I'm satisfied in where God has me. I never know, you know, the plan of God and where he may take me later on, but I'm finding fulfillment right now in serving a great vision for the kingdom of God under Bishop Jakes.
He is Antar Muhammad. He has a new book out, Heartcore, Effective Leadership Starts with a Servant's Heart. He is our guest tonight. We are talking about how do you become a good or even an outstanding leader? Are you born with it? Is it cultivated? Do you have to find somebody to work with? Where do you fit in your organization or outside your organization if you want to become a leader, or are you one of those who sits back and doesn't want to step forward and take on a leadership role? That's our conversation tonight. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines. Dwayne calling from Waldorf. Go right ahead, Dwayne.
Well, I had a comment, and then I had a question, because it's interesting. A lot of times people think that leadership is a title, when actually leadership is not a title, because you can lead from anywhere in the organization. And as the person said, you know, as Mr. Muhammad said, leadership, leader is a servant under rule. And it's interesting that he used the word under rule, because a lot of times today's young people who are a lower, different generation are not, they don't want to be under rule. You know, so you asked the question about cultivating, and I think what we have to really spend our time in is cultivating the competencies of excellence inside leadership. And that, again, could be helping them with vision, helping them engagement, helping them with support, and transformative attitude. So my question to Mr. Muhammad is, if you're going to lead across generations, how do you start off with an idea of servant leadership when you use also the term under rule? Because today's people don't want to be ruled. They want freedom, autonomy, and things of that nature. How are you going to cultivate excellence in leadership if you start out with the idea of servant under rule?
Absolutely. Thank you for that great question. In fact, as I mentioned, I wrote a title called a chapter called Do Not Shine, Serve. And so when I speak to many young people, many millennials, I use this that nowadays people are so introspective, and they're all about, you know, like my post, share my post, like me, do this for me. So they're really wanting their recognition instead of whatever they do to be recognized. And I teach them that in order for you to really be effective, you have got to let your professionalism shine. You got to let your service shine, because at the end of the day, you can go into any sphere of life you want to, but it's what you do is what's going to make the difference. People are not going to remember, you know, how you're not going to be propelled based off, you know, how you treat people or how well, or not rather, you know, how many posts you like or how good you dress. You're going to be propelled in life based off of the service that you give to others. And it's all about teaching the younger people that it's your service that does the shining, and teaching them the value of consistency. The value of consistency. I also read a chapter in there called Details Matter, and I talk about the fact that a small, minute thing can make a big difference. And I've been traveling around the country, and I bring up the point that you cannot be effective and inconsistent at the same time. You cannot be effective and careless at the same time. If you're going to be effective, you have got to care about the details. You've got to care about the small things. Take, for instance, a small lug nut or a small screw on the wing of a plane can take the whole plane down. Mm-hmm. And in order for you to be effective, you have got to care about the small things. You can never grow higher if you do not care about the small things or where you're at right now.
And in short, the devil is in the details.
The devil is in the details.
Is basically what you're saying. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our conversation tonight is leadership. Are you ready to step forward? Do you feel like you have leadership skills? Are you trying to sort of refine those skills? Do you want to know what it takes to be a good leader, to be an outstanding leader? That's what we're talking about tonight. And our guest tonight is Antar Muhammad. He has a new book out, Heart Core: Effective Leadership Starts with a Servant's Heart. Let's go back to the phone lines. And Isidore calling from the district. Go right ahead, Isidore.
Yeah, you got to have a servant's heart. That's where it all starts from. Then again, you got to have that go-get-em attitude while having the servant's heart, which, you know, being a leader can get you in trouble as well. But over the years, I started out, I think it started, you have to be groomed into it. You know, it's like a copycat thing. If you see somebody doing something right and getting the results that probably that you want, you know, maybe that's probably what you should be doing. Like you just said, the screw on the plane, you know, missing one screw. I used to get on my son about leaving one dish in the sink. And not being a, you know, not doing a complete job. You know, if you're going to clean up, clean up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do the dishes, do the dishes, but don't leave one behind. And I think it really starts, if you can catch them young, keep grooming them that way, keep the car clean, you know, doing the small things.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get real down to the minor details, that's where it all really starts from.
So it sounds
like you build from that. That place and on.
Right. So, Antar, it sounds like what Isidore is saying is that start early. Mm-hmm. First of all, you can help sort of polish leadership skills. But I think an interesting question, too, is we're talking about taking charge, right? Being a leader. Can leaders, especially good leaders, outstanding leaders, can they also follow, and should they have the ability to know how to follow?
Absolutely. I mean, a good leader is, as I said, a servant at heart. So a good leader knows how to follow as well. And it doesn't mean that you have to lead with an iron fist. It just means that you know how to lead people and have a clear mind and make great decisions. One thing I always talk about, and one thing I talked about in the book, is humility. You know, a lot of people like to ask me, you travel with Bishop Jakes and you go around the country and around the world, and how do you stay so humble? Well, the reality is I stay humble because I realize no matter how far I go, I'm only here by God's grace, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm only here no matter how good I work, no matter how hard I work, no matter the hours I put in, there's always somebody who can do a job better than me. So I'm only here by God's grace. So I never let the poison, as I like to call it, of what people say, the accolades, I never let that get into my head, into my mind, into my heart in such a way that I begin to believe what they say about me as if I deserve to be here. No matter how great you are, it's only here. You're only here because God did you a favor and allowed you to be here. So humility, to me, is the key to longevity. Consistency and humility. You'll never get anywhere further if you don't know how to be committed and have consistency and stay humble.
And Antar, I want to get to this before we go to break, because I want to flip it now. I asked, can leaders follow? And so if you can give me in about 35 seconds here, and then we can come back to it also, but I want you to at least to get into it. Can followers lead?
Absolutely. I think we all have a opportunity to lead, but you must lead with the notion that there is still someone above you. So you're only going to lead, you're only going to be empowered according to that the power and authority you've been given to, from your leadership, and I talk about that.
All right, so I want you to hold that. I just wanted you to kind of get us okay. started. It's a little teaser for all of our listeners out there, because many of us out there are our followers, and so many of us want to know, can we become leaders? So I want you to continue that point. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you are on the phone line, hang on. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. That means you, Sean. That means you, Judith. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR. We will continue this conversation on leadership skills. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum and the Insight segment will continue right after this.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we are talking about what it takes to be a good or even an outstanding leader. Are leaders born? Are leaders made? Do they have to cultivate that skill? Where can you use your leadership skills if you have them? Philanthropic areas, in the church, in the communities, with your friends. Whether you're a coach, where leadership skills, how they can be applied. And tonight we are talking with a gentleman who has a new book out and can tell us all about leadership skills because he defines them. Antar Mohammed's book is entitled Heartcore Effective Leadership Starts with a Servant's Heart. Antar Mohammed has been serving alongside Bishop T.D. Jakes for 2 decades. He's out with that new book, as we just mentioned, and it chronicles his tenure with Bishop Jakes, and he shares his tried and true methods of leading through service. The phone lines again are open. We'd like to hear from you. Your questions or comments, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Antar Mohammed, when we went to break, I was asking you if followers actually can become leaders or if they can lead, and I want you to finish that point if you can.
Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Absolutely will. You can lead according to the empowerment that you have been given by those who are in charge, by your superiors. And that's one thing I talk about. I have an acronym, C-O-R-E, CORE. That's your convictions, your observations, your realities, and your empowerment. And, your convictions is you lead based off of things that you know to be true. You are convicted about these things. This is what you truly believe. Your observations are those things that you have observed, your team members, your teammates, your environment, you have observed, because you cannot be a great leader if you do not observe your surroundings, your atmosphere, your team. How can you say that you are leading a people who you do not observe? Then we go into realities. Your realities is based off of what you have observed and based off of what you know. Then you go into the next thing, which is your empowerment. Your empowerment is simply you allowing those under you to lead according to the realities, according to your observations, and according to your convictions. Now, as far as me being a servant, me leading, I'm only going to lead according to the empowerment that I have been given from those above. And you only empower somebody, leader, according to the realities that you have observed. Now, you don't empower somebody to lead a massive group if they can barely lead 5. Because that's going to lead to frustration on both parts. Because you've empowered somebody who was not ready for it. They could not handle it. But you empowered them based off of a need you had, but not a need that they could fulfill. And that's the issue a lot of times we're having in churches and organizations and sometimes in families. You're trying to empower somebody for a need that you have, but they can't fulfill. And both parties are frustrated because they have wrong expectations of both parties.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. He is Antar Muhammad. He is here, our guest tonight on the phone line, and we are talking about leadership skills and leadership and serving and how the two go hand in hand. Let's go back to the phone line. Sean has been waiting patiently, calling from Northeast D.C. Go right ahead, Sean.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Mr. Muhammad, my question to you, well, let me start with, I learned how to serve by assisting and being taught by my great-grandmother how to serve people when she used to have dinner parties. I was taught how to shine silver and serve those little cucumber sandwiches that I enjoyed. So that kind of, like, started my beginning of loving people and knowing how to focus on what their needs were. So my question as an adult, now that my life has continued in different areas, I work for an organization that advocate for undocumented citizens. So I'm in a position where I'm more trying to keep the motivation, keep them up. And how do I continue to motivate and not be worn down as a server and in a leading position?
Good question.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that great question. I actually have a chapter in the book called Balance, and that's one of the biggest questions I get all the time is how do you find balance in your crazy busy world? And it's something that Bishop Jakes teaches all the time, which is so true, that you have to realize in the space of 24 hours, you're not going to be able to accomplish every single thing. But it's when you allow the same thing to lack every day is when you begin to have deficits in your life. So one day you're a great employee, but maybe you're not as great of a spouse, or the next day you're a great spouse, but maybe you should do a little bit more in the parenting department. So it's only when you allow that one thing to lack all the time. But really, finding balance is really the key. Now, I give you some keys in the book to find balance when you do have a really challenging life. And that sometimes is just as simply as taking a day off and not telling anybody that you're taking the day off. I mean, that's taking the day off and don't announce it to the family. Don't text anybody and tell them you're taking a day off. Because the funny thing is, when people know you have the day off, they suddenly find things for you to do. So you just take a day off and just do nothing. Just take a day off and relax and chill or do whatever you want to do, but don't make a grand announcement that you're taking Monday off. Or trust me, Monday is going to be filled. Or even going to an opera or a play or doing something outside of the norm that you wouldn't normally do. Something that says that you have a life outside of your organization, outside of your serving. And another thing, too, for your teammates, you know, every now and again, you could bring it. It's something as simply as bringing in donuts or pizza or just, you know, a movie certificate, giving them something to say, I notice you, I know you're tired, I appreciate your work. You'll be surprised how just a little recognition will go a long way in letting people know that I appreciate you. Sometimes people just really want to know that they are appreciated. I'm in the fight with you. I'm here with you. I know it's hard. I know you're struggling, but I just want to say that I thank you for your commitment and your service.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about effective, good, outstanding leadership. Great point that just has been made. To be a good leader, you really, if I'm hearing you, Antar, is you have to know how to de-stress, how to handle stress when it comes your way, how not to maybe give up on that stress but know where to put it, and come back and take that day off. And I think we all can relate to that when you need to take a day off. And sometimes you take the day off, but the phone calls still keep coming in. 202-319-7810. Phone call we have right now is Judith calling from D.C. Hello, Judith. Go right ahead with your question or your comment.
Good evening, gentlemen. And I want to first thank Brother Muhammad for his book. And I want to thank WHUR News for this particular program. I've called in before, but this one is particularly necessary for me right now. I'm currently in the leadership collective of our church and getting ready to run on the slate for leadership in my union. And the first call I heard was hung up on the word rule and the gentleman saying above and beyond. Brother Muhammad made it very clear that God is his leader. He joined a vision, okay? And in that vision, the visionary who had that vision had a structural idea. And when you join a vision and a purpose, a purpose, then you contribute to that with your energy and effort, and the efficacy of what you do brings you more attention than you trying to stick your chest out. It's Micah. It's do justice, okay, love kindness, which kindness is not weakness, and walk humbly with your God. You may contribute to changes in the vision, direction, or more efficiency for the vision, but you can only do that by participating in the vision.
Well, let me let Antar sort of jump in on that, Judith, if we can, because Judith is sort of offering, if I'm interpreting this correctly, sort of a holistic approach to leadership, that it's sort of not just this one track that you're going down, that you really have to sort of embrace a holistic approach to that. Can you speak to that, to that, Antar?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you can lead in one area and your leadership has to change and be completely different for another area in the department, and another department, or rather another organization, and it has to be altogether different. That's why I say you really have to go in there and make observations. That's a poor leader who does not observe first before you try to make rules and try to go in and try to make these regulations and these statements that people are going to have to follow. You have got to first observe where you're at. You have got to first observe where you're at. You have to first observe the culture of where you're at, too. The culture of the organization, then it boils down to the culture of the department. There are unspoken rules in every department, unspoken rules in every organization. So you cannot be effective if you do not make the proper observations, because you can go in and make some rules based off of an organization or a department that you were previously at, but they do not apply here. The system is set up differently here. So you cannot think that this is that. And you have got to go in with an open mind and a fresh understanding that this is not that. This is going to be something different. And I'm going to make these observations. And from those observations, I'm going to make the empowerments based off of the realities of where I'm at.
He is Antar Muhammad. His book is entitled Heartcore: Effective Leadership Starts with a Servant's Heart. You can have a servant's heart, Antar. You can be an effective leader, but you may be one of those who just likes being a leader, who likes folks to know that they are the leader, who just like to be in charge and like to show that they are in charge. What do you do with that leader? Is that not a leader with a servant's heart?
I don't really think so. I think that's somebody with a title and who just makes a lot of demands, but they'll never truly be effective. And, you know, it's more than just giving people orders and directives. It's really knowing the heart of the people who you are in front of, and knowing the heart of your constituents. And you cannot be effective if you don't know their heart. Now, you can have the title, you can hold the title for quite a while, but you'll never have the buy-in of the people if you don't have their heart. And so many people are trying to lead without having the heart of the people and having the heart of the matter at hand, and that's a dictator. And after a while, the dictators get voted out or they get thrown out. And so in order for you to be effective, you have got to care about the people, and you've got to care about the mission at hand. It's only a dictator who doesn't care. And again, those people will not last very long. Now, it's fun to be a leader. It's great to be a leader, but it's demanding to be a leader. And if you do not put the demand on yourself to serve those who you have as your subordinate, then you won't last very long.
He is Antar Muhammad. His book is Heartcore: Effective Leadership Starts with a Servant's Heart. When we come back, we're going to talk about that heart and how do you learn someone's heart? How do you know their heart? And whether or not leadership, those skills, is it different from a gender perspective? Men, women, are they dealing with different things? Do they have different issues to deal with? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our conversation tonight, leadership and developing outstanding skills. We'll continue this conversation right after this break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Tonight on Insight, Antar Muhammad has been serving alongside Bishop T.D. Jakes for 2 decades. Antar Muhammad has a new book out. It is entitled Heartcore: Effective Leadership Starts with a Servant's Heart. He is our guest tonight on Insight. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Your questions, your comments are welcome. We'd like to hear from you. What you think makes an outstanding leader? How do you cultivate leadership? Do you come with that out of the womb, or do you have to sort of learn those skills? Antar Muhammad, you've got heart in there, Heartcore: Effective Leadership with a Servant's Heart. So how do you learn or know someone's heart? Because we hear that line often, you should know my heart, right? If you make a mistake or someone's upset with you, you expect that person to know what your heart is, what your intentions were. So how do you know someone's heart? How do you get there?
Well, I actually wrote a chapter that's called, two chapters that are kind of marry each other. It's one is my golden rule, and my golden rule is study your leader. There's no way for you to be effective, I don't care in what aspect of life you're in, if you do not study those who are in charge of the organization. That's the leadership of the church, the leadership of your organization, that's the leadership of your company. If you do not study your leadership, there's no way for you to really be effective in your service if you don't study them, if you don't know the difference between a jovial no and a tired no. Or know the difference between, you know, I'll check it out later, or, I'll check it out later, meaning that I don't want to see it again. So you have to know different voice inflections and things like that. And the second thing is details of matters, another chapter I wrote. You cannot be effective again and careless at the same time. You have got to care about details. And I watch the small things. I watch small things, and that's where I talk about studying your leader. I make mental observations and mental notes, and I watch things that people do and things that people say, and in the church world we would call it being discerning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching things. I'm watching the small things. I watch the way you treat somebody who you think you don't need. I watch how you treat a busboy or a bellman or a waitress at the restaurant or somebody at the nail shop. I watch those things versus how you treat me. The funny thing is that people will tell me all the time that someone within the organization that, you know, they may not be as nice as I perceive them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, they're nice to me. And they tell me, yeah, you got to remember who you are and what office you work in. So that's why they're nice to you. But you have got to watch the small things. You cannot be effective if you don't watch small things and observe small things. And another thing about it is I have a chapter in there about building your team. And then I give you the 3 I's of team building, and I talk about in there where you watch people and you get different observations from other people about that person before you bring them on, your team of friends, before you bring them on into your department. You want to know what other people are saying about them because, again, your realities or your perception of them may be completely different, but somebody else's may be something totally different than what you already know.
He is Antar Muhammad. He is the author of the book Heartcore: Effective Leadership Starts with a Servant's Heart. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Muhammad, we often hear the term, especially in sports and in the military, this person is a leader of men, right? A leader of men. We rarely hear that she is a leader of women, or even a leader of men, from a female perspective. But a new study is out that shows women that work more than 40 hours per week are more susceptible to becoming diabetic. So when we're talking about leadership and leadership skills and becoming an outstanding leader, is there a difference in terms of gender, men, women?
No, I don't believe that there's a difference in effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there may be a gender a difference rather in how you may choose to lead men versus choosing to lead women. But there's not a difference in effectiveness. If you care about the people, you care about the mission at hand, and if people generally know that you are in the fight with them, you can lead them. I don't care who they are. I don't care, be you male or female. If people know that you have a heart for them and you're not just going to make rules based off of how you feel and your emotions, then I think people will absolutely follow you, and it doesn't matter who you are or if you're male or female, if you're young or old, people have got to know that you care just as much as you talk.
What inspired you to write this book?
Well, you know, I've been going around for years teaching leadership seminars and servant leadership seminars, and so I finally felt like it was time to put pen to paper and really, you know, jot down my thoughts about leadership. But the funny thing is that when I began to write this book, I began writing it to servant leaders as I am, and to leaders, and talking about, you know, the real value of having a servant's heart. But it really morphed into something different beyond just a book for those in this capacity and those in church or those in the nonprofit. I have people who run major corporations telling me that they want to use this book for some of their management team. And I have people who are in the insurance industry or in the technology industry telling me that they have found this book profitable and they're going to implement it now in their trainings. You know, I had somebody also to say if they had had this book when they had started their management career, then things would probably have turned out a lot differently and they could have avoided a lot of pitfalls. So I wanted to write the book at first just to those who are in the nonprofit sector or in the church world, but it really turned out something to be something much more than that, something outside of the box. And I think God really blew on this book and really began to open my eyes and my understanding that this is a book for life. This is a book you can use in your relationship. This is a book you can use in your everyday walk. This is not just a book that has to be confined in the walls of the church.
But tell us about mentioning, in reference to that, Mr. Muhammad, tell us about your role working for, I mean, we must say, one of the most influential thought leaders and megachurch pastors in the world, Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Well, you know, no 2 days are the same. I mean, we can be there in D.C. as we are several times a year. And preaching for the New Year's revival as we do, he's been doing for low 20-something years. And the next day, we could be going into a meeting with the Senate. So, you know, no 2 days are the same, and you have to be flexible, and you have to be agile in your thinking and not allow yourself to be boxed in based off of any one world. Because we live in multiple worlds, so to speak. You know, we live in the church world, and we live. We have to go in and out and meet with politicians and heads of state, and then we go from there to meeting with book publishers, and then we travel all the way over to California and meet with Hollywood executives. So you cannot be locked into one train of thought. You have got to be multifaceted. In order for me to be effective, I've got to broaden my mind and broaden my scope and broaden my worldview, that in each world it requires a different me.
And it is clear that you are following those tenets of leadership and serving. In addition to your role as an author and leader in ministry, you also have an organization to help fathers, and I find this interesting. Tell us about Dads United. What is it? What does it do? And how can someone even become part of it?
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing it up. Dads United is an organization I started years ago in 2014 because I was concerned there are a lot of great fathers out there who never get the recognition that they truly deserve, who never hear the words thank you, who never hear the words that you are appreciated. So I started it with a couple of things in mind. I wanted to show the world that great dads truly do exist, but I wanted to build those dads up, because a lot of dads hit a spot in the road, especially when the kids are teenagers, or you know, when you don't live with the children full time, and you never think that you're effective. And a lot of men walk away thinking that my life doesn't matter, that nobody really is concerned about me. And I wanted to be a voice in their ear to say, man, you really do matter. That what you do matter. Hang in there. Stick it out. It's only temporary. Your kids, they really are thankful. They just don't know how to say it right now. And that you as a man, you as a person, you matter. Hang in there. I believe in you. But I also want to be a voice to those other dads who are not there and tell them that every moment that you waste is never time you'll get back, that your children absolutely need you. And a lot of guys say, well, I didn't have a father, so look at me, I turned out okay. But I want to tell them to be the father that you wish you had. You have got to be the dad that you wanted to have. I equate growing up without a father or without an active father like growing up with a foggy or cracked mirror.
Hmm.
And you think you're going out in the world shining and looking good, but you don't realize that since you couldn't see good, that's not really how things go. And a lot of times we as men, we're trying to do things that we've never seen done before. So you don't know what being an active father is. You think it's throwing money at the kids, that means you're a good dad. That money is the worst part of you. That's the smallest part of you. They can get money anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They can go get a loan and get money. They can never get you back. And that's what I want to say. You can go to dadsunitedusa.org and find out more information. We're on Instagram at dadsunited as well. And it's really just about building our fathers up and being a voice in their ear saying, man, you matter. And thank you for what you do.
Boy, you've got a lot going on. How do you balance in our last minute or so all of the roles that you've talked about? You're an author. You're an assistant. You're the right-hand man to T.D. Jakes. You must have a master planner in terms of your electronics, something you write down, or you're just an organizer and an effective leader. And that's how you're able to write this book and give such great advice.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Before we leave you, really quick, how can the audience connect with you if they would like to do so?
Absolutely. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter, AntarFM. That's Antar, F like Frank, M like Michael. On Instagram and Twitter, you can go to my website, AntarMuhammad.com. You can order the book as well from Amazon, BarnesandNobles.com, or my website, AntarMuhammad.com.
He is
also available on iBooks as well.
He is Antar Muhammad, author of Heartcore: Effective Leadership Starts with a Servant's Heart. Thank you so much for joining us. Great conversation.
Thank you for having me.
That's